אנחנו נתחיל פרשתנו, פרשת שלח. יש לנו פה דבר תורה, צילמתי אותו. Anyone that wants a photocopy of I took out small pieces from this word from a sefer that is kol kach chaviv. This is mamish something that's it's so dear to me. זה נקרא ספר מאיר עיני חכמים. אני אתן לכם בדיוק איך שמעתי על הספר הזה, קצת היסטוריה. הייתי בישיבה בארץ ישראל, והיה לי חבר שנסע לבר מצווה של האח שלו. He went to America to go to his brother's bar mitzvah. והיה לנו בישיבה איזה אחד מהם, גאון, a very brilliant man, his name is Rav Chatzkel Weinfeld. הוא אמר לו, תשמע, אני רוצה דבר תורה, אבל לא סתם וולט, אני רוצה משהו בומבה. I want something, I want to blow them out of the water. Give me a דבר תורה that's like blow them out of the water. So, he showed him a שטיקל תורה בספר שנקרא מאיר עיני חכמים. אף אחד לא שמע מהספר הזה. No one ever heard of the ספר. And the דבר was נפלא ביוסה. It's דווקא on last week's parish. I'm sorry I wasn't here. If you want to know that vort, I can tell it to you. I got so excited about this vort that I said, that's it, I have to buy the sefer. I bought the sefer, I bought all the svarim, anything that I ever could find from this mechaber. His name is Rav Meir Yechiel Halevi. His last name is Shpochot Halshtuk. He was called the Ostrov Tzagoin. He was a chassidish rebbe. He was also called the Ostrov Tzachosid. He had a very, very unique shiluv. I very much wanted to go to his tzion. We were in Poland. He was a Polish chassidish rebbe. I very much wanted to go. Lo etzlachnu. And Bezrat Hashem, I hope that if I ever end up in Poland, I'm going to get to listen to this. First of all, the person was a goyin adir, not normal. What a goyin he was! It's not normal. He finished shas every year from Purim to Pesach. He finished shas every year. There was no kabbalat kahal from Purim to Pesach. He didn't speak to anyone. He just sat there and banged out the ganshas, trying to figure out how many daf he did every day. He was a gaon. He was like a gaon mina gaonim. Now, it's like interesting a little bit about the history of who this person was. His parents were very simple people, which was not the norm. He was already the next generation of chassidim, when you know the parents are like rebbes, and then they give up their children rebbes. Now, his parents were very simple people. His father was a baker, actually, and his mother was pregnant, and they were having issues with the pregnancy, to the point where she wasn't feeling the baby. They went to a doctor, and the doctor said, "Ain't sikui. There's nothing here. The baby didn't make it. You have to terminate the pregnancy. This is going to be a failed pregnancy." And she was very painful for her. They went to the Rebbe. He could look in the beginning and say, "I don't know who the Rebbe was." They said, the Rebbe wants to speak to the Rebbe. The Rebbe said, before you come speak to me, you should go into shul, and by shachris, during psicha sa'oren, I want you to daven with a lot of kavana, before you come speak to me. So the next day, they went to shul, and he was down in the shul, she was in the Nezus Noshim, and they opened the oren, and she davened with a lot of kavana, and she felt the baby kick. And the baby's alive. The Rebbe said, this baby is going to be an Or Gadol for Am Yisrael. This baby was, that's why the Sefer is called the Meir Einei Chachomim. His name is Meir, because he's going to be an Or Gadol, he's going to be a big light for Klal Yisrael. The Rebbe, the Ostrovtz Rebbe we're talking about, always got psicha. Felt he had a special like place in his heart for psicha. He's makvid to get psicha. The Ostrovtz are going. He was a goyim. It's not normal. You read what he writes over here. Kol tarkula mamish on his fingertips. There's insanity here. But aside from that, he was a tremendous, tremendous tzaddik. The Ostrov Tzagoyin fasted for 40 years straight. He fasted for 40 years. That means he did not eat Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Shabbos. He did not eat. He was so frail that he had to have blankets around. He barely ever got out of his bed. I heard from a historian who said that when the Ostrov Tzagoyin would eat, so the food was, you could see the food going, there was nothing there. There was nothing there. He didn't eat. And a lot of people like were bothered. Why are you not eating? Shabbos. Here's Shabbos. Daf min Essen. He ate nothing for 40 years. Every single day, we woke up in the morning after davening. The first thing he did was said a tavas chaloyim, which means that when a person has dreams that are, you know, scary dreams, horrific dreams, every day he did a tavas chaloyim. And when the first war broke out, he said, "This is the end. This is the end." And in my mind, just like Rav Tzadok, the Gemara says Rav Tzadok fasted for 40 years. I think it's not at all a coincidence. He fasted for 40 years before the Churban, Beis HaMikdash, and the Ashur of Tzogoyim fasted for 40 years before the Churban in Europe. And he saw it coming. He saw it coming. And he felt, he said, every night he kept on seeing a recurring dream that he was being made. This is who we're talking about here. This is a very special person. I don't think he has any descendants. I don't think there's anyone. I think they were all killed. There's a Halshtuk that I know, lives Dafka Malot Dafner on Shmuel HaNavi, who's a great nephew. I don't think there's any Halshtuks that survived the Churban of Europe. Listen to this Dvar Torah, Rabbi Yisrael. If you could follow the Cheshbon, hopefully you'll be able to see why I'm so in love with the Sefer. So it starts as follows. He wants to explain to us the whole ishtalshulus, the whole discussion of the Meraglim, Kalev, and Yoshua. B'diuk, what was the struggle? Why were they doing what they're doing? Why were they saying what they were saying? Ma b'diuk koreh? And this is the following. B'pasuk katuf, that the Meraglim said, Eretz Yisrael is a Eretz oicheles yoishveho. Which literally is translated, it's a land that eats those that sit there, or it consumes its inhabitants. It's oicheles yoishveha. There's something very strange about Eretz Yisrael, because the pasuk tells us that kemaisi eretz Mitzrayim ayesher yishavtem bo, kemaisi eretz Kenan loisasu. Kenan people that lived in Eretz Yisrael, they were bad people. Rashi says maasehem, their actions were worse than all the other umois. Yoisa, there was no Uma that was more disgusting than the Knanim. This is strange. The Mishnah says Eretz Yisrael is Kadosh Mikol HaRotzos. We know Eretz Yisrael is a special place. It's a great place to live. How is it that the Knanim that lived there were the worst people in the world? Why the worst people in the world? In the best country in the world. How is this happening? The best land in the world. What's going on? Says the Oshav Tzogoy, it's such a beautiful vort. He says, Eretz Yisrael is a place where a person can mamish, grow tremendously in ruchnius, in madregus, in dargus. Eretz Yisrael is gavoya mikol ha'arotzos, means a person can go higher than anywhere else in the entire world. But le'umas zeh, zeh le'umas zeh bar elokim, right? Le'umas zeh, on the other hand, a person can go so high in Eretz Yisrael, but what else can happen if a person's in Eretz Yisrael? The exact opposite. Person can fall terribly in Eretz Yisrael. Terribly. There's a person you know, his name is, maybe you know him, Yanki Horowitz. He lives in Muncie. He's a big guru in Chinuch. Came to Eretz Yisrael once. He says, whenever I go to a place to speak, I always go to like the Midrachov. I want to go to like, to see where the kids hang out. I want to understand what the nature of that place is. He said, I've never in my life seen anything like I saw in Eretz Yisrael. Never. He said, this place is totally, The street is totally out of control. It's because Eretz Yisrael has the koisel, the makom hamikdash. We have the yeshivas. There's so much kedusha to be had over here. The Yetzirah puts up on his side. It's got zelu umazeh baralokim. So you could go to Eretz Yisrael, you could be the best, or you could be the worst. There's no such thing as just sitting around. Says the Meraglim, Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Ocheles Yoshveha. What does that mean? If someone is not ready to grow, he's just sitting there, he is going to be consumed. He is going to be totally devoured by Eretz Yisrael. Because the Tumah in Eretz Yisrael, which is contrasted to the Kedusha, is too powerful. If a person wants to grow, B'seder Gamor, he'll be great. but it's Oicheles Yoishveha. Eretz Yisrael is going to eat the people that just came here to just stay the way they were. It's not going to work. That was what the Meraglim were saying. He says, this is the Pshat in the Pasuk. Mi Ya'ale Behar Hashem, Umi Yokum B'Mekoyim Kodshay. He says the following thing. Mi Ya'ale Behar Hashem, who can go up the mountain of Hashem? Mi Ya'ale Behar, who can go up? That's the constant halicha as I'm trying to go up the mountain. And who could stand there? Because a lot of times, there's when a person is trying to get up a mountain, so he could get up to great heights, but at the same time, if he falls, it could be tragic. So a person needs to be able to stabilize himself. There's two different koichas a person needs to have. There's a koyach which we're going to call aliyah. There's a koyach which we're going to call ritza. There's a koyach which we're going to call halicha. There's a koyach when a person is trying to make moves, but he's not stable when he's making those moves. That's Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is on the move. Eretz Yisrael is a place for startup nation. Everything is constantly new, stuff happening always. And that's great as long as you can keep yourself, keep your balance. But if you lose your balance, you can fall and it's tragic. So Miyale B'Har Hashem, who's going to be able to have that koyach that I want to move, I want to go, U'miyakum, but you have to be able to stabilize yourself and make sure you don't lose your balance. That's Eretz Yisrael. Miyale U'miyakum. You need two different things in Eretz Yisrael. You got to be a person who wants to move, but you also have to make sure to keep your balance, because if you fall when you're running, you're in trouble. Eretz Yisrael is referred to as Eretz HaTzvi, the land of the deer, swift. The deers run. Rotz Katzvi. Everyone's running here. Everyone's moving. Right? Either you're moving up or you're moving down. So if a person wants to move, he's got to be able to make sure he stays stable. That's Miyale B'Har Hashem U'miyokum B'Mekoyim Kodshay. He wants to say, based on this, wants to explain what happens with the Meraglim when they came into Eretz Yisrael was, it was too much. There was constant change, but the Meraglim, they lost it. They fell. Because this Ritza, this land, which we said has an Eretz HaTzvi, which is so much movement, the Meraglim weren't able to keep themselves on their foot, on their feet, and they fell. And when they fell hard. How do you counteract that? A person has to be able to balance himself. So he brings, that it's brought down, that Kolev, Pirish me'atzas Meraglim, Kolev, how did he get away from the Atzas Meraglim? Holach v'nishtateach al kivrei avos. The Gemara in Soita says that Kalev went and he went to daven by kivrei avos. What is the significance of davening by kivrei avos? He says as follows. A person in this world is called a hoilech. A person has an opportunity to grow in this world, to move forward. Once a person moves on to the next world, it's over, Rabbi Sai. It's done. Once a person's in his kever, so then he is no longer hoilech, he's now oimed. He stopped. So, this stability that a person is looking for is I'm trying to run, but I don't want to lose my darga. I want to make sure that I don't fall. So he gets that by being mitchaber, by trying to connect with kivrei avos, trying to connect with those that are not falling, because the avos are never going to fall because they're dead. Ad yoy moisa, a person shouldn't believe in himself. Al tamin v'atzmucha ad yoy moisa, which means a person should not believe in himself until he dies. Once you're dead, you're never falling. So if you want to keep yourself stable, Kalev says, I am going to be mishtateach al-kivrei avos. That's going to give me that kima. It's going to make sure I don't fall. Because I don't want to fall on Eretz Yisrael. You fall on Eretz Yisrael, you fall hard. That's how he did it. Yeshua didn't do the same thing. Yeshua wasn't mishtateach al-kivrei avos. Moshe Rabbeinu added a letter to Yeshua's name. Moshe Rabbeinu added the letter Yud. What's the significance of the letter Yud? So let's see. Where did this letter Yud come from? I could think Moshe Rabbeinu just gave him the letter Yud. Why can't you do that? But no, the Midrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu's Yud that he had actually came from Sarai. You're talking about hundreds of years earlier. Sarai's name was changed from Sarai to Sarah. There's a letter Yud that's just floating around. And the Medrash says the letter Yud came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, hey, I used to be in the name of a big tzadekes. What's going to be with me? But I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. Says Hashem, don't worry about it. You were in the end of the name of a tzaddikus. I'm going to put you in the beginning of the name of a tzaddik. So Sarai's Yud ended up in the front of Yehoshua's name, or Hoshea's name, became Yehoshua. Ma pshat b'zeh. Omer Oshrif Tzegoyen Kacha. Kodesh Baruch Hu barat olamo with the name Yud and Hey. Ki bekah Hashem Tzu Olamim. Ka is the name Yud and Hey. We don't pronounce it because it's the name of Hashem. Yud and Hey. Ki bekah Hashem Tzu Olamim. Hashem created two worlds. The two worlds is Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBo. Olam HaZeh was created with the letter Hey. Olam HaBo was created with the letter Yud. The letter Hey, the Gemara says, just like the letter Hey, you could fall out the bottom. So too, Olam HaZeh, you could fall out the bottom. You could come in the side if you want to do tshuva. You got to stay away from when you did your chatoim. So you come in the side. You don't come in the same place you went out. You want to like run away from that. But you could come back in because you could always, in this world, you could always be moving. Olam HaBa is not like that. It's the letter Yud. Olam HaBa is the only letter that's elevated above the line. The only letter that's not on the line. It's like, that's Kula Ruchni. That's the letter Yud. So Olam HaZeh is the letter that perhaps is the letter that is misamel, that symbolizes a person's ability to move, to go up, to go down, fall out the bottom, come back in the side. That's the letter Hey. There's movement. Olam, the letter Yud symbolizes when a person's reached the darga and that's it. He's finished. He's in Olam HaBa. No more nefila. Now Sarai, her name was Sarai, and she had a problem. She couldn't have any children. That means that she was stuck. There's no continuation. There's no perpetuation. There's no halicha. This is going to be the end of the line for her. The letter Yud was getting in the way with her life. Do you understand that? The letter Yud is, this is where you are, you're not moving anymore. The letter Yud is getting in her way. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the letter Yud and changed it to the letter Hey. Because the letter Hey is when a person can keep moving. It's more Olam HaZeh. So she has children that's going to perpetuate her legacy. She's going to become the mother of a great nation. That happened when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the letter Yud and gave her the letter Hey. Now Yeshua is going into Eretz Yisrael and all the Meraglim are going to fall. They're all going to fall. How is Yeshua going to make sure he doesn't fall? How is he going to be able to keep his Dargah? How is he going to be able to do that? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to add the letter Yud to your name. Because the letter Yud stabilizes you. The person's not losing his Dargah. Yeshua, you're going to manage to remain where you are. So Kodesh Baruch Hu took the letter Yud from the end of Sarai's name, put it in the beginning of Yeshua's name. Because in the end of the name means this is something that is holding you down. In the beginning of the name means this is something which is lifting you up. It's giving you more hope. It's something that's helping you get better. With Sarai, the letter Yud was there in the name of a tzaddikus, but it wasn't helping her. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to take your koyach of Yud and put it to Yehoshua in order to be able to help Yehoshua to grow. That is the change of what happened, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give these different names to these different people. Now, Mashakara. The Meraglim came back. The Meraglim said, listen, this is an awesome place. I mean, check out this fruit. This place is amazing. But it's just too much for us. We can't do this. We're all going to fall. It's like, it's too extreme. For sure, it would be great if we'd be able to accomplish it, but we're just not big enough. We're not there. So what did Kalev say? The Pasuk says, Vayas Kalev Esa Om El Moshe. El Moshe. Rashi's Madgish. Moshe Rabbeinu. There's some sichsuch between the Meraglim and Kalev. What happened is as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu, Atakfar b'madrega, Atakfar b'darga. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're big. You can go into Eretz Yisrael. You go into Eretz Yisrael. We can't do it. Moshe Rabbeinu is someone who's, he has no nefila, Moshe Rabbeinu. He'll never fall. As a matter of fact, if Moshe Rabbeinu himself would have gone into Eretz Yisrael and built the Beis HaMikdash, what would have happened to the Beis HaMikdash? Never destroyed, Chazal say. Why not? Moshe has no nefila. Moshe Rabbeinu is up there. He's like a malach. He's all the way with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shamayim, Perish, Me'ishtar. Moshe Rabbeinu, forget, there's no ups and downs with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, you go in. We can't go in. We're just the simple folk. We're just the little people. Sure, we could, you know, go up, but we could go down. It's too dangerous for us. Kolev says, Vayas Kolev Esa'om El Moshe. Kolev said, Raboisa, as long as we have Moshe Rabbeinu with us, we have nothing to be worried about. Because we just have to be mechaber to Moshe Rabbeinu. We have Moshe Rabbeinu with us. He'll elevate all of us. He's going to bring all of us to that place. All of us are going to be able to stay up because Moshe is there. Don't believe in your own strength. Believe in the fact that we have someone who can help us. Moshe Rabbeinu can be miromem et kol am Yisrael. That's why it's called Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabban should call Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu is going to make sure that it's not going to happen. We have to have emunah, not just in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yaminu b'Hashem, u'b'Moshe Avdoi. A person has to believe also in the koyach of a mashbiyah who's able to be meroimim. We spoke about it last week, Dafka, Pashas Baloisla. You know, it's el esayim, sipur madhim, sipur me'ashoah. It's a story from the Holocaust. It's a story about someone named the Blujiva Rebbe. The Blujiva Rebbe survived the Holocaust. There's a book about him. Yaffe Eliach wrote a book about the Blujiva Rebbe. It's called Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust. This story is perhaps the most famous story from that book, probably. Most famous story. Sipur was that the Nazis, Yimach Shemom V'Zichrom, they were so demonic. They were so satanic. They did such horrible things, aside from just trying to kill them, but they made games and sports out of killing Jewish people. So what they did is they told the Jewish people, "I want you to dig now a ditch. Dig your own grave." And they dug a ditch, and it was relatively wide. And they said, "We want you to jump over the ditch. And if you make it across the ditch, you could live. And if you don't, we shoot you dead." It's a sport. It's a game. Watch the Jew jump over the ditch. Now it was a huge ditch. These are people who are, they're malnourished. They're weak. They're broken. How are they going to jump over this ditch? It's a joke. And many of them didn't even try. The Blue Shavreb is standing there at the edge of the ditch, and he's standing next to this Pashat Yid. And the Yid says to him, "Rebbe, what are we supposed to do?" So he said, "Just close your eyes and jump." So the two of them closed their eyes and they jumped, and they both opened up their eyes on the other side of the ditch. So this Pashti Yid looks at the Blush of a Rebbe and he says to him, "Rebbe, how'd you jump across the ditch? You're an old man, you're weak, you're frail. How'd you jump across the ditch?" He said, "I'll tell you, I closed my eyes. And when I closed my eyes, I saw my father, my saintly father of blessed memory. He was standing there. And his kapota was held out to me. And he was holding on to the kapota of his saintly father of blessed memory, who was holding on to the kapota of his father of saintly memory. And there was a chain of people to the other side of the ditch. I just grabbed onto my father's kapota, and he pulled me across." So the Rebbe said to this man, he said, "How did you get across the ditch?" And he looked at the Rebbe and he says, "Rebbe, I was holding on to your kapota, and that's how I got across." And a lot of times we're like, we can't get across this. There's no way we're going to be able to do this. It's too big of a jump. I might as well just give up right now. But if you grab on to a person that has that dargah, you grab onto a tzaddik, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in our generation people that say, "Aloi nale, we can do this. We're going to be, it's going to be a lot of aliyah. We're going to have to keep on going up. Aloi nale, v'yorashnu oisa." Do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us yata d'shmaya. We'll be able to continue to shtaig raboisai higher and higher. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.